Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
Hello and welcome to Animal Central. It's Ainsley here again. I'm back this week. So we're going to be talking about a topic that's very, very close to my heart later. But first, I've got some other things to talk about. I hope you all had a good week and a good weekend. I had such an amazing weekend. It was our first big dressage show at Hollybury Hall, which is the stable yard I run events at in Midrand. And we had an amazing three-day dressage show, which was absolutely spectacular to watch. I think to watch a top dressage rider and horse compete together is something quite amazing. And I've, you know, I used to be an equestrian in my past life, but it was definitely amazing to see these animals and riders compete. So that was loads of fun. But I have to say, I'm quite tired. It's quite a lot of work, but we will crack on with this week anyway. So I've got a couple of things that have popped up in the news over this past week or so relating to animals. One of the ones that most upsets me is that the Private Rhino Association, they won their case to overturn the government's ban on the domestic trade in rhino horn. So for once, our government was actually doing the right thing by having a ban on the trade, but unfortunately greed has won, and this, you know, proves again that, in my opinion, the legal system in this country is won by people with lots of money and people who lie quite well. But that's not a direct attack against the Private Rhinos Association. That's just my thoughts in general. So the problem is, so now that they've won this, there's going to be the trade in rhino horn within South Africa. What exactly does that mean? Because we all know that the market for rhino horn is overseas in Asia. So surely all that we're doing now is supporting the black market trade in rhino horn to Asia. That's just a little mind worm for you. Luckily, our government will be appealing the case. So we just got to hope and pray that, you know, the justice system does stand up and is on the animal side. You know, there's a lot of sides to the rhino poaching disaster that is happening. But, you know, the trade in rhino horn, there are many, many opinions that say that it actually won't work and it won't help. And, you know, imagine what they could have done with this money that they spent fighting this legal battle if they actually chose to protect their rhinos a bit more. And then also there's a lady that's been seriously injured and mauled by a cheetah on Sunday at Beattie Lodge near Loskop. It's very, very unsurprising and definitely not the first time or the last time that this happened. And again, wild animals are wild, even if they're in cages. So you can't be surprised when you go into a cage with a wild animal and you get mauled by a cheetah. And the people who encourage this, who own these animals and make the money off of these animals by letting people come and play with their supposedly tame animals, really should be held responsible. So we hope that this woman makes a full recovery and that the cheetah also recovers, because captivity is bad for wild animals and people. So that's me off my soapbox for now, but not for long. So my guests today, this is a subject that's very close to my heart, because basically my path with wildlife and a love of wildlife rehabilitation started at Free Me Gauteng in Joburg. Free Me Gauteng has been going strong for 18 years. I've watched it grow from a very, very small organization run by passionate community members. And it's really blossomed in the 18 years to become what I will undoubtedly say one of the top wildlife rehabilitation centers in this country in terms of ethics and the scientific basis that they used for their rehabilitation and release projects. And there's been a very concerning change over the past sort of year or so, and it's basically led to the collapse of Free Me Gauteng, as you could say. So I've called the friends of Free Me in to speak to me about it today, because with some of the dealings that I've had in my previous position with the current board of Free Me, I think there's two different sides of the story that are going on, and I don't think that the truth is being, you know, accessible to the public and that it's getting out there enough. So I thought this is an opportunity. I want to speak to the friends of Free Me, the people who were there when it started, and the people who are fighting to get Free Me back to what it was. So today I have joining me Margie Brocklehurst, Wendy Brody, and Claudius Sibande. Claudius is actually an ex-staff member of Free Me, who only very recently, unfortunately, had to leave Free Me due to some of the problems I'm sure we'll discuss about. So welcome to the three of you.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, thank you.
So thank you all for coming in. I think if possibly, Margie, you want to start us, just fill us in about what's been going on.
I think Free Me, as you said, has been going for nearly 18 years. I was a founder volunteer. I've been involved with Free Me right up until 2009 as the executive director, the CEO, fundraising, whatever. Mm-hmm. And over the last few years, I've watched Free Me from afar. And it's in the last 3 years we've had major problems, and it's really in the last 12 months where volunteers have been contacting me, asking me if there's anything we can do to change the situation. And it came to a head probably in July, August this year, with the resignations of our senior animal managers, Nikki Wright and Penny Morkel. And after that, it's been a downward spiral. They've managed to, you know, the current board have managed to not only alienate staff, but also our volunteer force. And over the last few months, we've been alienated to such an extent that the volunteers now are not allowed on the property. In fact, are pretty much locked out.
That's ridiculous.
And, yeah, it's, you know, Free Me was built on volunteers right from the word go. We started with five, six of us. And at its height, which was probably about 12 months ago before all this started, we probably had as many as 90 volunteers
That's
on the
amazing.
Books. And those include fundraisers, it includes couriers, also animal care shifts, all that type of thing, as you know. That's what runs Free Me. And Free Me is a volunteer organization. It's a community organization.
Yes.
It was built... Basically, it started because there was no animal rehab in Johannesburg. And with the help of Corin Trendler way back then, she helped us get the premises, which started off very small. We've now got the whole house there in Rietfontein Nature Reserve. And, you know, we do serve the community, but it's, as you say, we've become a bigger community. We have animals brought to us from all over South Africa.
Exactly. It's not no longer limited to Gauteng.
Not at all. But we are supported hugely by our local community. And I believe at the moment that the local community, and as well as the larger, does not know what's going on. The current board has not seen fit to make known what their plans are. And I believe that Free Me needs to stay in the sort of situation that it is, supported by volunteers, supported by the community. And we have grown to this point because of that.
Exactly.
Of that.
Of the volunteers in the community.
Yeah, and the ethos of what we have with Free Me.
And I think it's just a lot of, you know, there's been limited blow-ups on social media regarding this whole Free Me thing. And it's been such cloak and daggery from the current board. There's been no transparency. And the first thing about a non-profit organization is that you are governed by the public because you are funded by the public. So you cannot decide what you will and will not disclose. So with a non-profit organization, there are laws governing that you have to have full disclosure. And from my engagements and what I've seen happening in the media and discussing things with, you know, the what we call the Friends of Free Me, the actual volunteers who founded Free Me and who now have been literally booted off of the property, there's not disclosure going on. There's something very, very fishy going on. And the fact that people... You know, one of the things that Free Me instilled in me from the beginning and that I'm so proud about Free Me is that the animals always came first. And Free Me's had so many trials and, you know, hurdles and thrown in their way. And you've always made a plan. And the animals have always come first. Whereas now, for the first time in 18 years, Free Me's closed its doors. So what happens to those animals now? You know, what happens to those animals? And I mean, Claudius, you've been there the latest. You how long have you worked at Free Me for?
I've been working at Free Me for the last 10 years.
Wow.
And as you said, that before, the animals were always the priority.
Yes.
And I was actually shocked from the board of directors from Free Me to say the animals are not the priority. If I continue saying that the animals are priority, I'll get fined.
Really? So the board actually said that to you, that the animals are not priority?
We were having a staff meeting, and you always mentioned that animals are the priority.
Yes.
And it's been like that before when I started at Free Me, and recently
it's changed.
Priority.
That's very sad, Claudius. That must have been very difficult for you because you were raised like me with
exactly.
the good morals.
You know, I've been passionate with animals from day one.
Yeah.
You know, and when I started at Free Me, with the help of volunteers, involved with all aspects.
Yes.
All operations, fundraising, marketing, animal care. You know, and it's not like that. We cannot do anything without the help of the volunteers because Free Me is actually founded by the volunteers.
Exactly. And if you can't even put the financial worth of a volunteer into monetary value, you cannot actually do it. And an organization like Free Me will always have to be volunteer based, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. And Free Me was one of the very few organizations that I come across that actually managed it volunteers, because volunteers, they are pros, but they're also cons if they're poorly managed. But Free Me had a fantastic volunteer system. I mean, the training, I was lucky enough to help you, Margie and Nikki, 2 weekends ago with the International Wildlife Rehabilitation Center course training. They came from America here, and that's what Friends of Free Me arranged, and they actually did the training. What I found most horrific to note is that there wasn't anyone from the current Free Me board or staff there, because apparently they must just be above learning how to properly rehabilitate animals.
Well, just on the volunteer thing, we have at the moment in the Friends of Free Me, I've got a core group of volunteers at the moment who are most vocal about what's happening. But I've had put a list together of our experience, mm-hmm. okay, of just those 30, not the 90, okay. just 30. And it adds up to about 180 years of experience.
That is insane. For free.
And that's for free. If you had to add that up, it's millions of exactly. rands worth of work and experience.
Exactly.
And we are close to losing it. And it is...
That's criminal.
We are absolutely determined in this effort that Free Me will not be lost.
Free Me will not fall. I think there needs to be a hashtag
yes.
But now, Wendy, tell me something. The current board now, do they have any animal experience, wildlife experience, rehabilitation experience, anything?
Two of the members are literally walked in off the street. They have had absolutely nothing to do with Free Me previously, and they have nothing to do with animals as far as I know. And the third board member was loosely associated with Free Me. She volunteered about 6 years ago, but certainly never did any outreach, any fundraising, any
education.
Or any
knowledge updating.
No, absolutely nothing. No courses, absolutely nothing. So basically, Free Me is being run by three people who have actually nothing to do with rehabilitation.
You know, it boggles my mind that even happens in the first time. This whole thing smacks of a corporate takeover to me. It's very, very corporate, and it feels pretty much the suits were sent into Free Me, and they started putting in, all sorts of what I call ridiculous, because I don't fit well in a corporate world, but, all these nitpicky protocols and paperwork and things, and not putting the animals first. And you can't have that happen, A, in a wildlife rehabilitation center, and B, in Africa,
The problem with exactly what you're saying is that the corporate entity that they are hoping Free Me will become is not possible here. Mm. If you have the compassion for our wildlife, and as Free Me always has, a person unattached to this can't understand that.
Mm.
We know as rehabbers, if an animal comes in, sometimes it needs a quick turnaround, 24
yes.
hours. It needs to come in, be treated, be out, because the longer it's with us,
it's
the
worse
it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And the new protocols that have come in, it can take now, or has been taking, anything from a week to 6 weeks
for an animal to get out. That's not rehabilitation. So you're not even doing what you're supposed to be doing.
But the problem is that the person who has got to stamp that release is someone who has no idea about wildlife. So and it's pretty much was the, a lot of this pressure from the corporate side and putting in protocols and systems and things which do not fit into a wildlife situation.
No.
You've got to be flexible.
Exactly, because it's live animals. Live animals don't read textbooks, and they certainly don't read protocols.
I don't have a problem with growing and becoming more compliant and corporate structure, but you need to have people on the board who know what Free Me is. It's how Free Me was actually grown by volunteers on the board right from the word go. And yes, you do need to have people coming into the board that can give you more experience on maybe the finance side, the legal
side.
But
that's when you all work together.
Absolutely.
You need an animal person guiding the animal. You need a release person guiding the ecology and the release side of it. And then, yes, I fully believe in corporatizing nonprofit organizations when it comes to the corporate side of things. So the financing, the admin, the fundraising, yes, that's the best thing for a nonprofit organization. But animal decisions have to be left to qualified, trained, experienced, and knowledgeable animal people, not corporate people.
And that's
the same. Like, you couldn't make me a CEO My goodness, I'd run your company into the ground in 10 short seconds. But give me an animal needing care and nursing, then we can talk. Then we've got it working. Oh, it's just, you know, it's so sad because FreeMe is needed. So, I mean, what was the average caseload? What is your average caseload per
year? I think over the last few years, having spoken to Nikki and Wendy, mm-hmm. I think we're running at about 10,000 cases a year.
That's 10,000 individual animals that mm-hmm. go where now?
Yes. There are a couple of small centres, as you know.
But none of them are set up to cope with the numbers.
They can't cope with these numbers. So I do believe that vets that have nowhere to send these animals now, the only option is going to be is to euthanize.
Well, I'm sorry to say this, but from some of the stories that I've heard coming out of current FreeMe, that may be better because there is or has been animal cruelty happening there.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is not just housewives getting in a fluff about something. This is absolutely criminal and horrifying.
I think that's one of the awful derogatory terms that have been used against us, as we're called the rogue volunteers.
Really? I'd be proud to have that.
We're the dark side.
That's ridiculous.
You know, and also they're just a bunch of housewives. Well, I can't tell you
what housewives founded. Housewives founded FreeMe, and housewives created the FreeMe that is internationally renowned. And in all of my however many years' experience with wildlife and rehabilitation, you housewives made the best rehabilitation center in this country,
and so the best rehabilitators.
Exactly,
you know, they have. It's amazing the passion and the time that people give to FreeMe. It's as you know, it's been in my blood for many years, and now I'm back. And boy, are we going to make it a success when we get there?
We have to.
And Ainsley, the one question that I would ask of the I would say the rogue board of FreeMe, is if they have such wonderful ideas and they have got so much to offer the wildlife rehabilitation, why are they destroying FreeMe? Because we could all fit together. They could open their one somewhere else. They could get a permit and they could operate to standards. Well, yes, they could open one. South Africa's got such a crying need for rehabilitation centres throughout. So why are they doing it right on top of FreeMe and destroying something so good?
And something that works.
Something that's worked so brilliantly and something with such a huge future within the community of Johannesburg and of Gauteng. Why do they want to destroy it? What is the logic behind spoiling something?
I would love to know. And I sincerely hope that this talk now is going to open the door, and I think that some journalists out there must get hold of this and make this their Christmas good thing, because we need to get to the bottom of what's going on. So you can please get hold of us on Twitter at cliffcentral.com or our WeChat. The ID is Cliff Central, or you can call us on 0861 555 189. We would love to hear from you, and I think also we'll talk about this a bit later, but we're definitely, there's going to be appeals here. Friends of FreeMe needs help, because the weird thing is they're actually not the minority. They are the majority. This, pick your words, Ainsley, this current board are the minority, but they just seem to completely be monopolizing the situation. And the way that they're behaving is so odd to me. So, for example, many of your current volunteers and members have been banned from the premises and have been denied membership. So FreeMe runs, it's a non-profit organization, you can have members. And I've seen some of the applications. And I mean, some of these volunteers are, as you say, overqualified, phenomenally qualified people, literally offering their services, their time, their experiences for free. And they have to put in this huge formal application to become a member, which is fine and good. You know, I'm a firm believer in admin and that there needs to be certain paperwork and stuff in place, but then they blatantly refused, and being what is the word, being, you know, said that they're being traitors and all of these wild accusations that are actually, in my opinion, libelous. They are saying that you've brought the company into disrepute and you've stolen animals and you've done all of these things. And I just read this and I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. And then to the extremes of this current board has sent out private emails. They've sent out private emails to the homeowners in the area where the center is based, which has nothing to do with the center, basically telling them that there's this secret thing going on and they must secretly absolutely become members so that they can vote off the volunteers. I mean, what world? What has happened to Free Me? I can't bear it.
I think Ainsley, one of the things is we've had over the last few months the help of a really respected attorney, Alan Warriner, and he's helped us put together a case against the current board. We've requested meetings. We've requested a special meeting so that we can put a special resolution in, and we've had no response. They have the help of one of the big five law firms in Johannesburg, and we're not getting any communication. Mm. If we can't force a special meeting, and it has to go, I have to say that through this a whole 3 months of work, we have followed the letter of the law.
Absolutely.
We decided right at the beginning, if we're going to do this, we had to do it properly. Mm. And we have followed the letter of the law. But I'm afraid the board has no respect for the law.
Mm.
You know, this board is in dereliction of their duty in so many things. And, you know, one of the things that we started was a little petition.
Yes.
To show if we had any support. It's over 1,255 signatures on this.
Wow.
So, yes, we do have support. Yes. And I still cannot understand why a board, seeing all this absolute wave of
concern and
for Free Me, exactly. why they either won't talk to us or even through the attorneys or at
mediated.
This point actually stand down.
Mm.
We want them to resign with immediate effect.
Mm.
How can people who are so non-compliant with the Companies Act, with the NSPCA, GDARD, whatever else, how can they be expected to look after donor funds?
Exactly. Well, never mind their money. What about the animals?
And the animals, of course, there are a few animals in there now. The doors were closed nearly 3 weeks ago. And so, you know, our concern is that the animals out there are not being treated at the moment. We need to be in as soon as we can. We need to get back to work. We're all waiting to get back to work.
Exactly.
And we have everything ready when we go in. We have a management committee. Yeah. We have a CEO. We have the volunteers ready and waiting. We can jump in and start whenever we get the okay to do so.
Mm. Okay, well, let's have a bit of a music break for now, and then when we get back, we'll carry on with this topic. Please do feel free to get hold of us during the break.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Animal Central. We've just had a little breather, so I can calm down. Deep breaths and think with our thoughts. Obviously, I'm quite biased in this conversation, and I'm the first person to admit that. So I'm not hiding my alliance, but I just want to assure you all that my bias comes from me at 16 and standard 6, toddling off to Free Me, saying, I want to be a volunteer because I've got free time after school. And it started with Margie and Wendy, and they were hard on me, and it was brilliant because I spent about 2 months pulling weeds out of the bloody driveway in a nature reserve before they even let me anywhere near an animal. And then the first time they let me near an animal, I had to go and clean out one of the owl cages, and these bloody hooligan woman didn't tell me that the one owl was actually imprinted, so she was relatively tail. So I was sitting, picking up all sorts of bits from the aviary, and next thing you know, this giant owl swooped down and shat myself, and it sat on my shoulder. I'm so glad I'm on internet radio, not normal radio. That's my first swear word. It's taken, 3 weeks? Woohoo! Okay. So I had this giant owl come and sit on my shoulder, and I sat there frozen, literally for about 45 minutes, because I didn't know what to do. There's a wild owl on my shoulder. Then luckily someone came past, and I sort of signaled at them, and they laughed, and they were like, what the hell is your problem? And I was like, can you not see there's an owl on my shoulder? So I think one thing that we need to build in South Africa going forward is volunteers, because if I look at the workplace now, when I have potential staff members coming to work with me, I'll check their CV, and the first thing, if I don't see any volunteer history, you're not in my good books, because that is where you learn work ethic And, you know, that's one side of this that's so important. I mean, the youth of today, you need to instill volunteer, that mentality of working just to give back to the greater good in that. So I'm going to try and make this next segment a bit more positive, because we've spoken about the doom and gloom and depressing side of what's happening with our beloved Free Me. I think we have to start a hashtag of Free Me Must Not Fall. It may be a bit long, so I'm open to suggestions. So please send us a little message on WeChat if you've got a better idea. But Margie, you mentioned a meeting coming up.
Yes, next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The volunteers and I've been getting together quite regularly, just really to boost each other and to make sure that everybody it stays positive, because we will get there. It's just taking time. But next week, Tuesday, the 8th of December, 6 o'clock at the Education Centre at the Riekfontein Nature Reserve, we're having a get-together. It's open to everybody.
Brilliant.
If anybody wants to hear more about it, wants to talk to me, wants to talk to the volunteers, please come.
Brilliant.
We'd really like you there. We've also got a guest speaker, Kate McEwen from the Bat Interest Group. She's going to give us a talk on bats. She's incredibly knowledgeable, and she's got some wonderful information about bats. So it'll be a nice evening. Bring a bottle, bring a plate, do what you like.
Brilliant.
But it's open to everybody. And, you know, the community, as we keep saying, is part of Free Me. So anybody out there, as I say, we're open to any questions.
Brilliant.
You know, we are completely transparent in our efforts. We're telling you what we want. We want to be back in Free Me, and this is sort of a little, you know, pre-Christmas boost for everyone.
That's brilliant. I will definitely make time in my diary to be there. So now, Claudius, what are you doing now? Because I'm worried about you. You know, you've been there at Free Me since I was a wee little thing, and you've always been there. And when in my previous position at in enforcing animal welfare, you know, Free Me was always there. I could call them at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, listen, we've just confiscated this or that, and we could always get there and there would be warm smiles and efficient hands, and you people, I could sleep at night knowing that you would look after those animals, and you were one of the people involved in that helped me sleep at night. So what are you doing now?
You know, it's actually shocking at the moment not to be part of Free Me, you know, because I've been enjoying working with animals, you know. At the moment, it's just tears all the time, sitting at home and doing nothing.
And you're going to make me cry now. No, Claudius, no, this is not, this is making my heart.
Ainsley, what we've done is the group of us, the Friends of Free Me, because Claudius is out of work right now. Throughout December, we're supporting him financially with his family, because we feel so passionate about making sure that he's okay.
He's part of us.
You know, he's part of the group. And if that has to go through to January, then that's going to be covered too. You know, it's part of what we do.
And that's amazing. I mean, look, again, not only are people prepared to give their time, it's such a closely knit family, and you all believe so strongly in the future of this that you know, one doesn't fall out of the fold just because the previous board of literally firing staff left, right and centre. You're still prepared to look after one another.
Well, that's what the volunteering's all about, Ainsley. You pointed out a couple of facts, but on the other side, volunteers, when they come to Free Me, they learn how to handle animals, how to care for them. They learn how to, if they do pick up a baby bird, they'll know exactly what to do and how to deal with them. And this is something that's bred constantly.
Yeah.
And then they go out into the community and they know how to be responsible. They know how to be ethical. So having volunteers is something that just spreads so deep into the community. And by losing that, whatever the incumbent board intend, obviously they don't intend to have volunteers, and it cuts off all of that wonderful connection to animals and into our community, because, you know, we are constantly involved with animals in the community. They're in our garden, they're around us, and, you know, to have trained, responsible people out there is so valuable for animal welfare.
Exactly. And if you look at the paths that some of the volunteers have taken, I mean, it's such an amazing sounding board to create that compassion, to create that love for nature, and then to see where what I call the Free Me fledglings end up. I mean, it's amazing, you know.
No, and look at you, Ainsley.
Yeah, I know. I'm one of your first fledglings, and I can honestly say that if it wasn't for Free Me, I would never have followed a career in wildlife, and I wouldn't be sitting in this chair with this microphone in front of my face.
And we want to encourage more and more people to join in. Yeah. We want to train more volunteers. We want to have more courses. But if we've been stopped at this stage, it is absolutely shocking, because everything we've worked for in 18 years is going to be lost. And it's for the greater good of the community and our wildlife.
Oh, this just, it can't happen. It can't carry on. I can't believe that it has happened to this point and it cannot carry on. So what I think you guys need, you need lawyers and lots of lawyers. You need lawyers with experience in the Companies Act, in the nonprofit organization sphere. You need to lawyer up and you need to fight with both fists. Because what I just can't find, you know, there's laws. There's laws and there's people that enforce the laws and people, you can't just, what I've seen, experienced firsthand and heard is that this current board literally does not care.
No respect, no humility,
you know, just, but that can't happen. You can't be like, oh, I'm breaking the law, so what? It can't happen. So, listeners, please, these are members of public from who, out of the goodness of their heart, I mean, they are funding staff that have been fired by these monsters. They are literally, that was me saying that. Everyone's giving me eyeballs now. I'm the rogue radio host. I'm the rogue one now. You know, they need help. We cannot let this happen. We need Free Me. Free Me is so much more than just saving animals. Free Me is a vital, vital part of our community. And people in Gauteng do not know how lucky they are to have had Free Me. Because I can promise you, if you're sitting in Pofadder and you find a little baby, something that's injured, or you hit a jackal with your car, what do you do? You can't do anything. There's nothing that you can do. Whereas in Gauteng, it used to be as simple as popping that animal in your car, taking it to Free Me, or calling Free Me. They'll come and send volunteers to climb down your dirty chimney or climb in your car to get a dusty stuck out of the engine. You know, it is a service. Gautengers, you do not know how lucky you are. And I mean, Gauteng is one of the most amazing places. It's the biggest urban forest, man-made forest that we have. We have all sorts of new wildlife species coming into urban areas all the time. So we have loads of wildlife needing help. And if we don't have Free Me, what's going to happen to them? We need to protect our wildlife. We need to protect our community. We need to uplift our community. And Free Me does all of that. So please, for good Christmas karma, you will get oodles of Christmas karma. Please help these ladies. I've got Margie's details here, which I'm going to read out now, and then I'll read it out at the end. So her cell phone number is 082-561-3681. And her email is tremor@icon.co.za. So, and think, you know, don't limit yourself. There's so much help that they need on so many different sides of things, because we are going to be positive and we are going to get Free Me back. We are not going to let this happen. So it's not only getting Free Me back, it's the way forward again. It's healing a lot of people who've been very badly hurt and traumatized by what has happened currently. So we really need positive leaders and people to take initiative. And please, please, please help. Please.
You know, we've served the community selflessly for 18 years, Ainsley. We haven't really asked for much over the years. And I think we're asking for help, desperate help right now, before Free Me's lost to big business, to something that might not be good at all.
Exactly.
Something that might not even work in the future, because it's an unknown. Whatever these people are trying to do, we don't know.
Yeah.
And Free Me could be destroyed and it'll be very difficult to get it back again. And now is the time to act.
Oh, the world
and it's public support. It's public support now. We need as much pressure from the general public as we can get. Well, you must contact councillors, contact the press, contact the radio stations. We need an effort, okay? Yeah. And from our side, you know, it's not just Wendy and I. We have an amazing team behind us, ready and waiting to go. We have a little management team that has helped us get this far, but we have the support of the volunteers. Whatever you put out there, we get feedback. But now we've got to the point where we need bigger feedback. We need bigger push. We need the push from the public.
And I mean, if you think about it, so 10,000 animals, so technically that could be 10,000 individual people who have brought an animal to Free Me in the year. 10,000, even if we take half of that, 5,000, and it doesn't take a lot. Please, people, you have the power to help Absolutely. With this. So if any of you listening has ever taken an animal or a bird or a bug or anything to Free Me, please, you owe it to the animals and you owe it to Free Me and you owe it to Friends of Free Me to get up and get a bit. You don't even have to get out of your chair, pop off an email or get on your feet, go and riot or something, not riot, march, that's the right word.
You're talking about animals that people have brought in, Ainsley. I think one of the most heartbreaking ones that I ever had in all my time at Free Me was someone who brought in a snail.
Yes. That's quite right, from a sandwich shop.
A sandwich shop with a snail with a broken shell.
Oh, God.
And a lettuce leaf with all of his staff as well.
Oh, no.
It was the sweetest
thing. He then, from that point, carried on supporting us with all the greens and things from the sandwich shop. But, I mean, that has to be one of the most heartbreaking ones that we ever had.
That is brilliant. Oh, that is absolutely. We have applause. Yay, my co-pilot Munchie is getting very clever. See, I sit next to this thing with all the buttons and I find it quite terrifying. And I had Duncan as my co-pilot initially and now I have Muntu and he seems to be getting very, very smart at these things. Maybe just give me a warning next time. I thought it was raining.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, I think that's possibly a lovely way to end on this thing. I want each of you to tell me one of your funniest or favorite Free Me memories regarding either people or an animal or anything just in the Free Me in its prime. Claudius, do you want to start?
In 2007, I was in enclosure with three banded mongoose.
Yes. You two are in on this. Okay.
So I went to the cage to replace the water. Mm-hmm. On my way back on the pre-entry, the other female mongoose accompanied me. So for me to open the door, I was so worried that it can vanish to the wild before the time to be released. So I waited there for a while, I think 10 minutes. And I think the bonded mongoose just think that I'm there to provide as a toy. Scratching my shoes, trying to crawl out of my pants, and I have to grab my phone and phone Wendy. I said, please come and rescue me.
And if I remember correctly, she had crawled right up your pants.
Exactly.
So Wendy, you don't only rescue Claudius.
Rescued Claudius as well. That was such a good laugh, really.
Oh man, who wants to go next, ladies? Wendy.
Well, one of my abiding memories was a Saturday morning. I always used to run Free Me on a Saturday morning, and the girls were having tea, and a man came in to say he had a monitor in the back of his car, now a monitor, Legavon.
Yes.
And he said he thought it had been hit by a car. It had, you could see the marks across the back. And it was really inactive, completely inactive. Okay. So I prepared a big cage for it. But this thing was massive. It was absolutely massive. If I hold my hands out, that's as big as it was.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what made me do it, but I climbed in the back of the bucky and I grabbed it behind the back of its head and its tail, got off the bucky, and halfway up to the clinic, this thing came alive. And it was actually like
thrashing,
whipping around. And so I let go from behind the head, held onto the tail, and I have never been so frightened in my entire life. I managed to get it in the cage, close the door, and I thought, well, I think this is probably the next best thing to bungee jumping. I was shocked for the rest of the day. I was shaking, but I felt pretty good about the whole thing, and I was glad that he wasn't that injured. But
I
will never forget that.
Because those monitors can be ferocious. They've got, for our listeners, they've got very long claws, very sharp mouths, and they are strong. They're basically a whole entire muscle. Mm. And even just those tail, that tail is like a shambok. It whips you, actually picture.
It was terrible. And there was nobody around. Thank heavens, nobody saw. But yeah, that was my.
Well, well done on getting him into the cage.
I didn't lose
well
him.
Well done. And Mark?
I think, there's been thousands of cases.
Yeah.
Okay, but one of the. Also, it's a funny one. You know, we got a call from Hyde Park Corner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, three ladies were off to tea and stopped on the corner at Hyde Park because they could see the traders trying to get a vulture into a box.
Yes.
And she said, we've rescued a vulture
Yes, and we've got it. Park.
Yeah, and we've got it in our boot.
Oh.
So Nikki said, I don't think no. so. You know, it's probably a hardy dar. Yeah. You know, not. He said, okay, well, bring it through and we'll see. So they did bring it through. And she was absolutely insistent that it was a vulture.
Okay.
So we opened the car boot to have a look, just a little bit. And I got my head on the side to look in. And on the other side is the vulture with its head on the side looking out, saying, hello, you know,
vulture.
What are you?
Mm.
And it was actually captive bred. That at that time, Gerard Verdun came out, had a look, and said it obviously had been somebody's pet. But there you go, Folger on Hyde Park Corner.
But well done to those people who just casually, do Harry Casual, went and picked up a vulture.
No idea. Three middle-aged ladies on their way to tea rescued it.
That is amazing.
So, yeah, we have wonderful stories to tell, as you well know.
Many stories.
And we just want to carry on with these stories and the feel-good amongst the public.
Exactly.
It just is, it's a wonderful organization with wonderful, wonderful community members supporting us.
Oh man, this has we have to come right with this. The world cannot be a world without Freemi.
No.
I'm sorry, it can't.
No, it can't.
We've all worked so hard over the years
at different times in our lives. It's been the saving grace for many people.
Yeah.
You know, people who are very sad, very miserable.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to Freemi, lose yourself in your in your care, and you come out feeling absolutely.
Invigorated.
Renewed.
Yeah.
It's a feeling that, as you say, with volunteerism, and people get it from all sorts of being volunteerism, but for us it's the animals and it's Freemi, and it's an enormous part of our life, and we don't want to lose it.
No, we can't let that happen. So please, to all of the people listening, if you are a lawyer, if you are an NPO wizard, if you would like to help donate to, you know, help Claudius survive until we get Freemi back and have him back employed, please make contact with Margie. I'm going to send you her, give you her number again. It's 082-561-3681. And then we've got an email, tremor at icon.co.za. So please get hold of her. So we have a WeChat message, which is controversial. So it's from Speko, and he says that, I think all animals that need a home should euthanize because they finish human resources. So my comment to that, Speko, is that there's no such thing as human resources. There is natural resources, resources that the earth creates that are here for animals and humans. And us as humans do not know our limits, so we breed and consume at a rate that is unsustainable. So it's not the animals that are using all of the resources, it's the humans that are using all the resources. So then, does that mean that we should euthanize the humans that do not have homes too, because they are using the animals' resources? But that's another topic. So Sveko, I don't agree with you. I thank you for asking me the question, but I think that you should rethink that a bit, because resources are natural and are made by the earth, and animals were here first. And if humans can't learn to share their toys and limit their consumption, then we are not going to have a world to live in. So on that delightful note, I thank you for listening, and I thank my wonderful guests. You know, I think we started off on a pretty heavy note because that's the reality of what's happening. But I thank you for your honesty, and I thank you for your time, and I thank all three of you for your commitment, because what you are, all three of you are doing, goes above and beyond what is expected of you, and I recognize it, and I thank you all, and I will do whatever I can to help get Freemi back. And it is going to happen. It has to happen. So please, even share this podcast. By sharing this podcast, you are getting the message out there. There are wonderful people in this country that can help. And we can do this. We can get Freemi back.
Thanks, Ainsley.
No,
thank you, Ainsley.
So I will see you again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you, listeners.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.